A good designer does not work for the payday. He works for the fun. He works for his ego, for his pride to do the next big thing. And the best way to do it is get him to do the great projects.
Hello and welcome to the CDE podcast. Today we're speaking with Luke Donkervolker. He's the chief design officer at Hyundai Motor Group. Hello, Luke.
Hello.
How are you today?
Doing fine. It's always great when you are in such an environment. I mean, just looking at those cars that are fascinating and you think, oh, I should have had one of those. Mm-hmm.
This is like our Disneyland, isn't
it? Yes, absolutely.
And we have some cars down here that you've brought along that have never left Korea. Is that correct?
Absolutely. This was the first time. We've been working a long time and then we thought, is it the right moment? Is there any interest for those cars? And then with Jens, when we discussed about this event, we thought, it might be the right moment. I actually have another car that I wanted to bring, but we have it was a bit of a legal issue that we could not show it outside of Korea. So one day we will bring that one as well.
Wonderful. We have a lot to talk about with Hyundai Group and also your previous roles. But just to begin at the beginning very quickly, where are you from originally and how far back can you trace your passion for cars and design?
I am a Belgian citizen. I have a Belgian passport, but I was born in Peru and I grew up in Africa and South America.
Wow.
So until the age of 18, I had done 10 countries. My father was a diplomat. So I am basically citizen of the world or nomad. Life was basically segmented in different countries, a country every year, every year, a new school. Until the age of 18, where my parents decided it was time for me to start be serious about my future. And I went to Belgium for the first time, studied engineering, and left immediately after to study design in Switzerland, Art Center College of Design. And then I joined the Volkswagen Group in January 92. Made all my career in the different brands of the Volkswagen Group, from Audi to Bentley, Lamborghini, Skoda, Seat, etc. Until 10 years ago, where I joined the Hyundai Motor Group for a new second life, I would say.
We were just talking to Achim from Bugatti about his early life, which was extraordinary. He was a motorcycle acrobat before he was a car designer. And we were talking about how actually, you know, the more life experience you have, the better you are at your job, especially when the job is car design. So do you think that having traveled as much as you have, having lived as many places as you have, having your background as an engineer, does all that help your work as a designer in some way?
It does, because you learn to survive in every possible environment. It doesn't matter where I am. I mean, most of the time I'm in 3 to 4 continents per month, and sometimes in a week. So you have to be able to adapt to the situation, but at the same time not adapt too much, because you're supposed to bring something new. If you adapt, you don't progress, you don't contrast things. So yes, I believe that being exposed to living in countries where we had 4 hours of electricity per day, and having to go hunting on the weekend, buffalo, and then learning to wear shoes every day when you go to Europe, and learning that you have to have a winter jacket, allowing to develop a certain survival instinct that you need every day at work, I think,
Absolutely.
And in life.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about your first job as a designer. You were part of the VW Group. What was that first role like? What were some lessons you learned early?
Before that, I actually did a long internship. It was supposed to be an internship. It turned out to be a short contract at Peugeot in Paris. And then I realized that it was not exactly the automotive environment I wanted. So I went back to finish my studies at Art Center. And then I was contacted by Audi and joined first as an exterior designer at Audi. Was involved in motorsport projects, but also production projects. My boss became responsible for Skoda design, and he basically took me to Prague to a design studio that was not existent. So we first had to build a design studio to be able to work. And that was, again, one of those Boy Scout experiences. You have to learn to do everything with a pocket knife. That was actually very helpful because I could have carried on in a well-organized studio doing wheel covers for a long time until the senior designers allow you to do more. But I was thrown in cold water. And by having to go to a company where there was no design studio, and this experience prepared me for the future, to be basically having to do everything without any means, any time, to be having to improvise all the time, was actually something that helped me a lot.
And super helpful, I imagine, for your current role as Chief Creative Officer at Hyundai Group. Yeah. Could you tell me a little bit about what the day-to-day of a Chief Creative Officer looks like?
Well, it is, I will, there's one sentence I maybe say. I always say I get paid for, I design for free and I get paid for the meetings. Mm. So basically, I have to share my time between having ideas, being creative, and then managing. To be honest, I'm a very bad, lousy manager because as I'm saying something, I'm thinking about something else already. I'm thinking about the next step. So I'm making my team crazy because I'm always, as soon as something seems to be under control, I'm thinking about the next step. But my team has to execute. So it's always, running behind things. But it's simply, first of all, where? Either which continent? Last week was US. This week is Europe. Next week is going to be UK. So it's not Europe anymore, but it's and then week after it was going to be Korea. So it's always having different time zones and different, and funny enough, independently where I am, I always end up in video conference with the guys that I just left the day before.
I was just there with you. I could have stayed.
Exactly. So it's simply about my team is actually trying to squeeze in meetings that allow me to give my inputs. And it doesn't matter if it's design inputs or if it's all inputs that are required to execute, for instance, the hospitality concept of the next 24 hours of Le Mans, where we invite VIPs. What do we do with the VIPs? Do they fly in with helicopter or not? So this is also part of what my team has to do. And it's all about going back in time all the time because I'm trying to project myself in the future for the design projects. And at the same time, I have the daily business which pulls me back to today or to next year. So it's always going from 3 years forward to today, then to next year, then to back to 3 years further. Every month I have design presentations for the three brands in Korea. So I have to be updated. I have to give my inputs. I have to say, no, we do it like this or we don't do it like that. I prefer model A and model C. Let's do that. This is the long term. Then I have to basically go back to today and manage things that are basically related to the next event, which is happening. For instance, we have an event in France in 2 months. So it's short-term, long-term, short-term, mid-term, all the time. And at the same time is which continent and with whom, what audience, who is talking. It's also being diplomatic and non-diplomatic. Diplomatic if you're talking about business, also different attitudes towards the cultures I'm talking to. If I'm in Korea, I have to moderate my thinking. If I'm with my designers, I can be more expressive, let's say. Mm. I can speak more French and swear and scream. No, it's adapting to different environments, different time zones all the time. And it's great. It's never a dull moment. And again, it's having to have different caps. When I'm at Hyundai, I'm basically looking at Hyundais. Then I have to forget about what I saw at Hyundai and put my Kia cap. And then I put my Genesis cap, and I always have to kind of like turn the page. The same thing when you do a project, forget about it. It's the next one that matters. Don't try to, you know, rest on your laurels and capitalize on what you have done great. It doesn't matter. As a designer, it's like having exams every day. So it is a very chaotic and very full time. At the same time, I need my rest and I need my time to think. And for instance, driving this morning in the night, 4 hours, perfect time to think alone in the car and to kind of like put things back in place. So I need those moments. I need sometimes to forget. And I think my career will be successful the day I don't need any telephone or email anymore.
We just install a little chip into your brain. You can just do it all with thoughts.
Yes.
It's an interesting thing about being a designer. It's a creative role, but if you're really good at it, eventually you end up quite senior, which becomes a more managerial role.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you still get to scratch that creative itch? Obviously, you're not sat there sketching all day quite as much as you once were. Do you still feel that you get to kind of creatively satisfy yourself on a regular basis in this role?
I will never be satisfied. I mean, if I was satisfied, I think that would mean my I would not be able to question myself and to do the next step. It is the design part that interests me. The rest is important because I want things to be done right, and also I am expecting a lot of efforts from the team, and I cannot let them abandon them. I need to support them, but it's always the next idea that I'm looking for. I am enjoying my time when I'm designing something, when I'm sketching something, and I always have my sketchbook with me, which is never leave me. And people got used to see me sketching during meetings, knowing that I can listen and sketch. And that actually is a better way for me to listen if I sketch. At the beginning, people were thought I was not showing respect or whatever, but people got used to that now. And people, there was a time where people were trying to get my sketches after the meeting. I'm a designer, clearly. That is my, if I cannot design anymore, I will stop. It is the only thing I'm good at. The rest is I'm trying to be good enough, but I believe that this is the way I can bring something. I can be useful to the organization. It's the only way to see myself in the mirror as well is by bringing new ideas, by trying to find new ideas. And that's the only thing is if when, you know, I had the honor of being nominated president 2.5 years ago, and I was worried about losing the creative aspect. And I told him, I need to utilize this power to support design. It's the only reason for me to accept that, because otherwise I don't see myself as a president on a car company. I'm a car designer. I never wanted to be a boss, and actually I refused jobs many times because I wanted to carry on being a designer. When I was at Lamborghini and I was told to take over a design studio with 45 people, I said, no, I'm not interested. I want to carry on being a designer. And at one point they told me, now stop playing. You have to grow up. Exactly, time to grow up. And I learned to do that, and I learned to be creative through my designers and to take pride into the achievements of my designer. But it was difficult. And, you know, for me, it's I can only be happy if I can still see myself as a designer.
Absolutely. Well, you've been at Hyundai Group for close to 10 years now. Yeah. During that time, certainly two of the brands, Hyundai and Kia, have undergone the most extraordinary transformation in terms of brand perception. How much of that is down to great design, do you feel?
It's a very valid question. I think the first, and it's not a political answer, but there are great designers everywhere. Generally, if you have a great designer coming to the streets, it means two things. You have good designers and you have a good management. If most of the companies fail because in doing a good design, because the designers are not supported or not given the right responsibility or the right amount of power. It's if you have a good design and if you have a good designer, sorry, and you have a good management, then you have dynamite. We have the chance. It's the first time I had this after a long career of fighting to get designs on the road, where I have our chairman that challenges me. He's every time, you know, we do three projects, three models, and he will always take in the more challenging one, not the safest one. That is where I'm happy where I am, because I have management that basically says, go further.
Wow.
Move on. And the transformation from Hyundai and Kia would have not happened without that. I had from the first day, he told me, put design upside down. Do whatever it takes to change the design of Hyundai and Kia. And it was, you know, it's a license to kill. It's something that you never have normally. Normally, you join a company, and I joined quite a few ones, and you expect them to do a little bit of magic, but don't disturb. Here, I was told, do whatever it takes. And this is what allowed to first design the processes, design the team, and design the DNA. So it was the three things that allow us to do this transformation. And again, it's never going to be finished. My goal is now to make sure that we have enough firing power. I'm always concerned of the amount of projects we do, and I'm always concerned about burning my people out, because you cannot believe the rhythm of which we're going.
I mean, this year, how many new electric Kias? It's extraordinary. Yes. So many new models.
And there's much more coming, and Genesis and Hyundais. And every year, every month is simple. I have a design presentation with the management, and we are presenting about 35 models during this presentation, one day. We have always, every month, about 2 to 3 projects that go for design freeze.
Wow.
This is never seen before. This is something that will, you know, it's at the end of the year, we have made about 150 design models for the three brands. And that is something that you basically, after every model, after every presentation, you turn the page and say, okay, next and next. And you cannot disappoint. We have 21 design studios around the world that we have to coordinate. They work in competition. I have to make sure that the projects, we select the projects that go into competition to be shown, recommended by design to the chairman. Then he makes the final call. And from that moment, the car goes in production. And that's it. There's the point of return has been achieved. So on that day of presentation, I have to make sure we have done it right, and he is in a position to make the right decision.
Something I've noticed is a lot of your cars come out looking very similar to the concepts that we see first, which you can't say that for a lot of brands. Is that an indication of a healthy car brand where, as you say, the management are enabling you and being supportive of you? From the outside, I always wonder, when you have a concept car and then the production car doesn't look quite the same, what's happened along the way? Was there been some argument? Someone's changed their mind? So is that an indicator of a healthy car brand when the production cars?
I hope we can say that.
Yeah.
There is one secret which is not that secret, but the one secret way to achieve that. We don't have a division that does show cars. We don't have the golden boys in the secret department that take care of the show cars, and then the other guys that do the hard work for production. The same people do the design, the show car, and the production car. So obviously they try to put the same efforts into the production, and it's always the same thing. Is when they do a great project, which makes me smile, and where I basically will find every single funding necessary to make the show car, even if it was not planned, like the Insteroid. I always tell the designers, okay, great job. I expect the same level of motivation and engagement for the production project. And that is the secret. Don't divide your design departments into advanced design, production design. That doesn't work. And then you have the split between the show business and the business. That cannot happen. Get the people that do the production work to do the show cars.
Is that quite unusual in a car brand to not have that separation?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yes. And you know, it's also the best way to motivate your people, because there's nothing more frustrating than you fighting for 3 years to get a project on the street and fighting every day for half a millimeter and here, and then looking at new technologies to try to realize your designs. And then seeing this project on the show, which you have nothing to do with, where you say, come on, you know, that's never going to go make into production. Get the people to do both, and then they will be motivated forever. A good designer does not work for the payday. He works for the fun. He works for his ego, for his pride, to do the next big thing. And the best way to do it is get him to do the great projects.
Absolutely. In my opinion, design has been a huge contributor to the sort of rise of Kia and Hyundai in recent years. But another one has been electrification and willingness to commit to EVs in a really meaningful way, much earlier than a lot of rival brands did. Now that we've had some time to live with EV platforms, how do you feel about them as a designer? Because first, everyone was saying, oh, skateboard chassis, blank piece of paper, we can make them look completely different. And I think maybe we're learning now over time that they have their own constraints, don't they?
Yeah. You know, it's always the same thing. You never get the level of freedom you think you will have. And you basically acquire a new set of parameters. And as you mentioned, the skateboard was supposed to liberate us from any possible constraints of how to design the car. What happened, you end up with the front compartment full of stuff, and you're trying to fight to have a bit of a frunk. And then you end up with the floor pan, which means that your car needs to raise about 130 millimeters in general in order to accommodate the batteries. So actually, it's not a win-win. To the contrary, you have to fight for new challenges, and suddenly you have to fight to make other cars than SUVs, because SUV is the best typology of vehicle in order to mask,
accommodate the battery.
Yeah, exactly. And now we are in the process to say, yeah, wait a minute, what about this monoculture of SUVs now? When SUV become a commodity, what is going to be the value of an SUV? So you need to do something else. You need to broaden again, and we need to fight again. Also, the fact that designing a car is like a training. If you lose your fitness in designing, in looking for the best proportion for every single millimeter, orchestrating the design elements, the proportions, you are going to lose your qualities as a designer. And SUVs are a comfort zone. You don't have to, you know, a good SUV does not rely on incredible proportions. You can mask a lot. If you do a sedan, a coupe, a traditional vehicle, to go away from the boring registry, you need to be very good. are orchestrating masses, volumes, muscles around the wheels, overhangs and everything. This is where you learn to be very good at creating great proportions. The great proportions is 95% of the job. After that, it's only makeup.
Mm.
And you should not rely on makeup. And this is where you start suddenly to see cars on the road which have three or four times too many design elements to mask for wrong proportions. And you look at the car and you say there's enough design elements to make three cars.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where you have to learn to do more with less. And if you looked at, you know, the cars that we have today, they all try to do that. And the Genesis G90 Coupe is a perfect example. Your eye has to catch up on one design theme, and then you have to be able to explain it to anybody that has not seen the car. What does the car look like? If you can't do that, the design is wrong. It's not you that is not able to describe it, is or not able to memorize. It's simply the design is not good enough.
Absolutely. Of course, working for a Korean brand, you don't have the luxury of just making everything an SUV, because I've been to Korea.
Absolutely.
They're still very happy with the three-box sedan. It's Absolutely. A very popular car type Absolutely. There. So we have to figure out some way of making those electric and nice and low at some point in the future too. I'm conscious mm-hmm. of time. I didn't even get to ask you about Audi A2, Murcielago. I just want to talk about Murcielago. We can keep going. Amazing. Okay. Okay, so a couple more, and then I'm going to ask you a couple questions for the design students. A couple of my favorite cars from your back catalogue, and it's hard to choose, would be Audi A2 and Lamborghini Murcielago. Audi A2 feels weirdly relevant again because, of course, aerodynamic efficiency is more and more important to car design.
Yeah.
I got to visit the Audi wind tunnel last year and meet the aerodynamics team. And they're like the kind of new popular kid in school. Like he said, you know, no one ever used to listen to us in the meetings, and now we're like more important.
Yes.
Same question as with electrification. As a designer, what does that mean to you, having to think more about aerodynamic efficiency and kind of swoopy shapes? Is that does it get in the way of your creativity, or is it just another thing that you have to work with?
Well, there's nothing worse than having to play with the same set of rules. Mm. You know, you start knowing the tricks and you apply the tricks, and then you basically lie to yourself. So I think the best way is to be always in a situation in a changing environment where there's new inputs coming, and you have to suddenly be more aware, and people put more relevance on the aerodynamics. Now, the big mistake about aerodynamics, it was supposed to make everything look the same, and it's wrong. You can do an aerodynamic car with different volumes and shapes. You just have to find a way to play with the high pressure zones and low pressure zones. Obviously there's a simple way to make it, and there's a more complicated way. And you will have to make compromises. But same thing then when people say form follows function. It is wrong. Form merges with function. It's the combination of both that will work if you make one more dominant. Automatically, you will lose on the other side, and you'll have to compensate. There is a saying, even which is quite known, that design is too important to leave it up to the designers. And it shows that some companies don't trust their designers and think they know better. And this is where things go really wrong.
Mm.
And aerodynamics is a perfect thing. Aerodynamics, in theory, means that forget about the designer. The designer will try to put some graphics on an aerodynamic soap-like shape, and everything will be perfect. It's a bit like the NASCAR cars, where you have basically most of the cars are the same, and you put some stickers on the lights in the grill. And this is what people believed in the 90s, that aerodynamics was going to influence the world like this. And we would be decorating perfectly harmonized aerodynamic shapes.
Which, if we're being completely honest, that is my impression of some other car brands in terms of their current design language. But you reject the idea that every car is going to end up being a bar of soap in the future. Yes. We can make aerodynamics happen in more creative ways.
You know, the simple way is that actually the market is the one that tells us that this is wrong.
Mm.
Because if you do those cars, and it can work for one brand in specifically, but, you know, for instance, yes, we said, okay, let's be more conscious about the environment. Let's be more conscious about the aerodynamic requirements. Let's listen to aerodynamic experts. And we designed the car. Then comes the design presentation, say, yeah, but we want a rougher SUV. And you look at yourself and say, what now? SUV or aerodynamics? Because there is a contradiction there. Mm-hmm. People want the Marlboro Cowboy spirit. They want the adventurer flavor into the car. They want to feel like they can go into the Amazon region with their car. It's an illusion, but they want that flavor. And this is not compatible with a very nice wind-sculpted shape. That doesn't work. Mm. So should we be dogmatic about the efficiency? Or should we kind of like try to satisfy the taste of the customer? And this is there is an orchestration to be played. But once again, it's also about working very hard to find how can you achieve the right result.
Yeah.
And you know, the Audi A2 is one an example as well. I learned more with the Audi A2 spending hours in the wind tunnel than doing a race car. I could apply everything that I learned doing the Audi A2 on designing a race car and the Lamborghinis later and everything, because I had spent so much time, and the Audi A2 was a very difficult car, short, small car, roof. It was not easy. So we had to create a certain shape to the car. And by the way, if you look at the Ioniq 9 and the Audi A2, there's a certain reason why they have a certain similarity in the roof line, because it's aerodynamic efficiency. And we found out Ioniq 9 could have a little bit of that feeling.
I was going to draw that comparison myself, because I think the Ioniq 9 is a really nice example of the fact that you can have a very aerodynamic shape, low drag coefficient, without being a bar of soap. Because that car looks boxy, and then you get up close, and it's actually very kind of wind-shaped.
Yeah, yeah.
My friend had an Audi A2, and he had a R8 V10 badges on the back. Ridiculous. And then his party trick for people that don't know about cars is he would park it this far out of his parking space with the handbrake down, and then he'd push it in with his pinky finger because it weighed nothing. It's fantastic.
But I was working on a V8 Audi A2 that I gave up because I had no time. But V8 central engine on an Audi A2. But let's keep that for.
Oh wow! What could have been?
Yeah.
Okay, last couple of things. I'd love to know if you have a favorite car from your own back catalog, and I'm sure that as a designer, you know, your latest is your favorite, but if there's a particular project maybe that you remember fondly, even if it's not so much the end result as just the process of making it. Mine is Murcielago, by the way. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Well, it's not the latest project, it's the next one.
Mm.
Because you always believe, you know, every project comes with a certain level of frustration. You know what you wanted to achieve, and you look at what you know and you say, yeah, okay, but you know where you lost the battle. You know where you could have done better there. You didn't manage in time to find the right solution there. So it basically every project comes with a certain amount of feeling you could have been a better designer. So you always expect the next one. And I think if you live in the past and you live in the cultivating what you have done previously, then it is wrong. Now, this being said, it's not about the design, it's not about the car, but it's about the experience you had. And every time I changed company, I had to adapt to another environment, which I did when I was a kid, new schools every year and everything. And where I was extremely challenged is when I was sent to Lamborghini to design what became the Murcielago, was the fact that the company never had one single designer in the company. They always used to buy the design and then make it possible.
Mm-hmm.
suddenly I was sent there and I was told, do the next car. And I was competing against Gandini, which was one of my all-time heroes. Mm. How could I have been good enough to win that competition? On top of that, they told me, listen, a Lamborghini has to be designed by an Italian, so we'll never say that the Belgian designer working for Audi designed the next Lamborghini. So, and I said, I don't care. I just want to design the car. And then later on, I got recognition for the car. But the most important thing is that I got adopted by this small family in Santa Agata Bolognese. And this link is still today, where on the 5th of October, they're going to celebrate the 20 years of the Centro Sile, which I created, is something where I still feel emotionally related to this company, because I was the first designer in the house that was not a contractor being paid to design something. Yeah. And thank you. But I had to work with the people, find the compromises with the people, and things like the movable air intakes would have never happened if I had not been there to find a solution with the people. And this is where it basically, I could say there are some countries that stole my heart, and Lamborghini stole my heart from on the automotive side. Nevertheless, this is the past, and I cannot live in the past. So I always try to find the same degree of emotion for the next projects.
Look, it's been such a pleasure talking to you. Just one final question. What's your go-to piece of golden advice for young aspiring car designers when you meet them?
I think that it's to open the eyes and realize that there's a huge amount of very talented people in this world. And there's one thing that will make the difference is dedication and efforts. So it's I think everybody can do it with the right level of efforts. But you have to live it. You cannot be a designer considering design as a job. It's a life. So it's either you are a designer or you choose another job. But you cannot consider this is something that will eat you in a positive way, because you will not have a single minute without thinking about the next project or what you have to solve or whatever. It will be constantly there in the back of your mind when you are with your family, with your relatives, on holidays. So you have to be aware that this is going to be your life. And this is what's going to make the difference once again, because talent and social competence are important, but the efforts are the ones that are going to pay off. So it's all the matter of having a full dedication to car design.
Thank you for your time, Luke.
Thank you.
That was an absolute pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you much.
Thank you so much for listening to this CDE podcast. Please like and subscribe to discover new episodes and upcoming events.